Good morning, everybody. All right, so next week we're here at a 9:15. Who gets to a football game at halftime? No one, huh? Unless, of course, you've been held up in traffic by the police, there might be an excuse. But generally, no. We all get there way ahead of time because we want to get the drinks, we want to get everything. All right. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. 2022. That was very good. Something on my heart this morning. You know, I just feel that as we embark on this journey where we seek, this is the last week, I guess, of this two-part series. I think God is onto something here. You know, last week we spoke about being ambassadors, that we are people who are sent. And the good thing about being sent, you see, is that we use whoever sent us authority. The police don't come here. In fact, if I was to stand in the middle of the street dressed as I am and start halting the traffic, I'll probably be run over. But if I then go back inside and change and wear a policeman's uniform and halt the traffic and start directing traffic, immediately the cars will start to follow my instructions. And that's because they recognize the authority of the uniform. And that is, as ambassadors, we have to recognize the authority of the person that sent us. And as a result of that, it should bring within confidence within us to say, I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if I see somebody that needs healing, I will pray for them, and the owner of the healing anointing is going to flow through me and to touch them. All I have to do is that I am a vehicle or a conduit that takes things from something, from someone to something else, to somebody else. I am that vehicle. I am an ambassador. So what are we? Ambassadors. You'll hear that a lot this year. We're ambassadors. And so we, carrying on, I guess, from where we left off last week, where we say that to seek is to search for, to try to find. And part of the synonyms, there's a lot of them. There's this one which says, be in pursuit of. Be in pursuit of. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you would move heaven and earth to get it? You were single, and you were praying for a partner, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you sought, and you sought. Whether it was a husband you were after, or a wife, if there are any young people here, it could be a vehicle, a motor car. It could be pots and pans. You were so desirous that you would do anything you could to get in line on Boxing Day to make sure that no one beats you, either David Jones or Admire, so you can get your special set of pots or a KitchenAid, you know, for those that like baking. You would do anything. But isn't it funny that after a while, after you've got that particular thing, it becomes normal. It's just like, it's just one of many. It loses its value. It loses its mystique and its aura and how special it is. When you get it, whether it's a set of pots and pans, you're showing it off. You know, it's right there in the middle of the kitchen where everybody who comes in can see that it's matching all your decor. But after a while, it gets under the cupboard, and then it stays there for about a year, and then next, or maybe 2 years, but then eventually, it could be in a garage sale, or then it makes it to the shed, and then it's given away or something. It's true, though, that some of the things we desire after a while, they just lose their luster. They lose that aura that they had. It's like a vehicle. When I got my car, I made sure I said to my kids, now, this is not what you do when you're in mommy's car. When you're in my car, no drinking. You take all your drinking bottles, you take all your shoes, your slippers, and you take them with you when you leave the car. And so my car is spotless, you know, which I like it that way. And it's like that when we come to the Lord. We love him, we get saved, we are desirous, everything is going great. We love the Lord, we're happy, clappy. And then after a while, he becomes one of many options. Do I spend time with the Lord? I might as well Netflix and chill. I think I'm a Netflix and chill. And not spend that time with God. But to be in pursuit means you go after something. Just like that lion going after that gazelle, it is in pursuit. It will do, its eyes are focused on it, and it will try not to take its eyes off it because that gazelle is moving fast, but it's locked in. It's saying, you know what? Come what may, give me 100 meters, I'm coming after you. Anytime after that, I probably, the lion doesn't have a chance. And when I used to watch the old detective shows, and so whenever they would chase a thief, you would hear them say, we're in pursuit of a suspect driving a red Ford or Holden. And that's how it would sound, I guess, through the TV. And so we know that they were definitely, they said, we are in pursuit. So we are after. We are doing all we can to go and apprehend that thief, the bank robber. You see, pursuing something is not a one-time thing, but it can easily become that, where I pursue once, and that's about it. And so I recall a story in 2000 and, let me not get this date wrong. Sometime in between 2003 and 2004, it was 2003, I left Adelaide to go and visit Unami, who was in Wollongong, New South Wales, and I said, you know what? In fact, I had called her mother probably a week before. You know, you do the obligatory thing and just say, look, I'm so-and-so, and I'd like to ask if I can marry your daughter, blah, blah, blah. And so the mother said, yes, you know, we don't believe in that as Africans, but anyway, you can go ahead and engage. So I flew to Wollongong, took her out on a day, we went shopping, and then I booked at a hotel in Wollongong, and then that evening we went out all dressed up. I was dressed and she was well dressed as well. And so we went out and we were having our meal. And whilst we're having a meal, I'm texting my friends in Adelaide and I'm saying, the lion is after the zebra. You know, the lion is after the zebra. And so because they're waiting, because they knew what was happening when I left. And so eventually I asked her, I said, would you marry me? And she sort of like said, yes, you know, of course. And so, thank goodness, you know. And so my message back to all our youth group back in Adelaide was, the lion has captured the zebra. And so I was in pursuit of what I wanted. And I would do what I could. I did what I could to make sure that I got the woman that I wanted. But we know that pursuit is not a one-time thing. Where when we were dating, I was probably extra, extra nice. But that was all for a purpose. I was, you know, that was all for a purpose. And I recall hearing our senior pastor, Ray Ledger, saying, in fact, his wife, Demi, is the one who said that he used to always open the doors for me when we were dating. Da-da-da. And then she would come out feeling extra special. But he said, the day that we got married, she was waiting for the door to be opened. So he says, what are you waiting for? Get in the car, you know? So we can make pursuit a one-time thing. But it isn't that. And so if we listen to the words of Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 to 2, it says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession of the house of to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. And then in Psalm 63, verse 1 to 6 says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and your glory. In other translations, upon your beauty. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. And I recall there were nights where I would lie awake thinking of Unami when she was in New South Wales and I was in Adelaide. And that just, you can see the desperation and his heart's cry that, man, I just remember the times when we used to seek the Lord, the times when we used to go after him. But sometimes life happens, you know, we get busy and we just lose a bit of that zeal, a bit of that, you know, reason why we seek after the Lord. And Dr. Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, in his book, in his guide, Why You Should Fast, listed some reasons for fasting. He says, fasting and prayer can restore the loss of the first love for your Lord and result in a more intimate relationship with Christ. You see, fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and a transformed life. And I recall it was a challenge that was being run by Celebration Church in the U.S., and I just happened to be watching something on YouTube. And they had this 21 days of prayer and fasting. I said, you know what? At that time, we were living in Alice Springs. I said, I'm going to join. And so I joined the 21 days. Did the Lord say, do 21 days? No, he did not. But Stephen decided to do 21 days. And what a disaster it was. I lasted 14 days. But that wasn't the point, you know. And I don't say that to necessarily look good, you know, as a fasting Christian. No, that's not the whole point I mentioned this. But I remember what they would do is that they were fasting for 21 days and they would have three devotionals a day, morning, noon, and night. And I recall one of the gentlemen, a pastor from the U.S., he spoke about this scripture in Ezekiel, and this scripture goes, and it's titled in my Bible, The River of Healing. And this is Ezekiel having a vision, and he says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right hand of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, which is 533 meters. Then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured another 500 meters and led me across again. And this time, the water was up to my knees. Again, they kept going, and it was up to his waist. And again, they kept going, and it was too deep for them to walk across. And now they're swimming. They had to swim. And when he said that, he talked about ankle deep. How do you want your relationship with the Lord to be? Do you want it to just be ankle deep? And that there needs to be a progression as we grow and mature in the things of the Lord. There needs to be a progression where we experience what it is to step into the presence of the Lord and just get our ankles wet in the water. But then as we move along, we need to progress. We have to make a heartfelt decision to then get to from ankle to knee, and then from knee to waist. And then ultimately, the whole goal is for all of us to be encompassed and taken away and drowning in the presence of the Lord. That is the desire of what God, that he put that challenge out. And that scripture, as I read it again, I recall that moment when I listened to that devotion. I was like, man, I don't want to go just ankle deep. And the funny thing is that it's actually a choice that you have to make. Do I go ankle, knee, waist, or where I go everything? And I feel that as we start this year, we just want to go back to our first love and say, Lord, this year we're going to seek you, and I want to move from just being ankle deep. I want to move to be knee deep. And that's a good start. But it's a conscious thought, and it's a conscious choice that has to be made by each and every man and woman and family. The families that you represent, that this is not the year that we're going to play tiddlywinks. This is the year that we're actually going to pursue whatever it is that God wants for our lives. Amen? We spoke about last week, we are in the world. We know that. We're on planet Earth. But we also have worlds that God has placed us in. He's put us in families. Some like to be part of their families. Others do not. You know, some families are good. Others are not so good. But he's placed us in families nonetheless. We have been placed in businesses. We've been given jobs. We've been placed there. Through the skills that God has developed within us, or the studies that we've done, we've been placed in situations, relationships. We've been placed in sporting clubs, in communities. And the reason we've been placed in those things, we can move to the next slide, which is, it wasn't for fun. But we are positioned for purpose. This thing of us being ambassadors is not something we take lightly. It's a recognition from all of us that God, he doesn't play games. God does not make mistakes. So he has positioned us specifically for a purpose. If we turn to Esther chapter 4, verses 15. So the story goes that they were living at a time of King Xerxes, you know, a crazy, crazy king. But there was a man that hated the Jews named Haman. And Haman made a plot in chapter 3, if you can go back and read it, a very good book, the book of Esther. He makes a plot against the Jews to say, you know what, I'm going to take all these people out, I'm going to wipe them out. But Esther, was in the harem of the king, one of the king's many, let's just say many wives. And so her uncle Mordecai, who had raised her, then finds out that Haman has made this decree to say, we're going to wipe out the Jews. And so now everybody's panicking. They're in a state of panic to say, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to us? You know, if the decree has gone out that it was actually set for a specific day, some day in March in the future, we're going to wipe out all these people. We're going to kill them, men, women, children. Everybody's dying. And so Mordecai sends the message out to Esther to say, look, we're in a bit of strife here. Could you please go to the king and petition us on our behalf? And so Esther says, you must be nuts. The rules of the kingdom that they lived in did not permit one of the wives or the lady that was in the harem to approach the king unless he had put out a golden scepter, and then you can approach him, which gives you the permission to go in. So she says to Mordecai, that ain't happening. You know, I'm not doing that because I'll get killed. And so Mordecai in verse 15, then he basically says to her in verse 13, he says, Mordecai sent this reply. He says, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you'll escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you are made queen for just such a time as this?" You have to understand how significant this is, because Vashti was the queen before Esther. Vashti was asked to come after they had a very long party. The guy comes and says, "Look, Vashti, come and dance in front of all my boys." Vashti obviously said, I don't know where she mustered the courage, said, I'm not dancing. I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to dance in front of all the people that are present at your party. And so eventually Vashti gets banished, and then Esther steps into her place. So this is why he then says, "Who knows if perhaps you are made queen for such a time as this." Now what I can say is that don't we think that the Lord knew that something was about to happen, and somehow he caused a rebellion in Vashti, which you do not ever disobey a dictator. But she took somehow had the courage to say to the guy, "I'm not going to dance," and so she was deposed as queen. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die." So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. And so the Jews all got into 3 days of prayer and fasting, because they needed deliverance. They needed a circuit breaker, because something was not right. You're an ambassador just like Esther was an ambassador. The words of Mordecai, perhaps this is the reason you were placed in that position. And I take that and expand on Mordecai's thoughts. Perhaps that's the reason we were placed in the situation, in the position that we are placed in. We were placed on this earth because God has a plan for you and for me. He has a deliberate plan for you and I. And so maybe, just maybe, you know, you have to understand that purpose is understood when we look back from where we have come from. Ah, now I get it. That's why I went through that, because the Lord was doing something. It's never understood from the front. It's always understood in reverse, because that is why Joseph was able to say to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good," because he had planned that all that the children of Israel would be saved. And so once Esther realized this, she became determined in the pursuit of God for deliverance. I don't know about you, but I know for certain I want my children to get more hungry for the Lord. I want to grow in my relationship with my family, that we all gather around the Word of God. We all gather. I know I want my relationship with my wife to be the best that it can ever be. I want it to be the best relationship in 2022. I know I want God to so move through us as C3 Fremantle and C3 Wellard, that we would be astounded by the things that he's doing through us. But God is no fool. He has placed you in position. And because, you see, the kingdom of God is at hand, therefore I know that whatever place I go to, whatever is required of me, I've been given the keys to the kingdom. And I'm going to bring the kingdom of God in whatever sphere, whatever world the Lord has placed me in. Kristen Fiola, in her article, "Why Should I Fast?" and say 7 examples of fasting in the Bible, she says, "Fasting prepares you for the works God has ordained for you to do." Fasting prepares you for the things that God has prepared for you to do. And as the story goes in the book of Esther, that after their fasting, she mustered up the courage to go. And as she was at the entrance somewhere, the king saw her and extended the scepter. And so she didn't die eventually. And she found favor with the king. But ultimately, the interesting thing was that she didn't just go to the king and say, "King, oh, Haman wants to kill us." You would think that's, I would definitely do that. "Thank goodness, look, king, that you have extended your scepter. Babe, you know, your boy Haman, he's after us. He wants to kill us." I would have said that. But I'm certain that when she was fasting, God must have given her a strategy, because she just didn't go and blurt it out. She waited some time. She seduced him in a nice way, you know, which is, I guess if it's your husband, you're allowed to do that, you know. And she says, if it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for the king. And so they went. They got to that banquet, and she didn't divulge what her issue was. Then the next day, I think the banquet was called for the next day, and at this time she divulged what was actually taking place. And then she got Haman killed. Meanwhile, God was working in the background, working out the timing of things, ensuring that Mordecai, who was lowly at that time, got elevated, and Haman, of course, you know, eventually got destroyed. But what I got from that, as I reread this morning, is that she got direction from the Lord how to articulate her problem to the king and not be presumptuous. And so when we decide to seek the Lord, when we decide to say, "Our family, this is what we're doing," what happens is that God will begin to give us strategies. I know there's some of you in here who run businesses. When the scepter, let's understand this, when the scepter was extended, this had never been done before. What was asked of Esther had never been done before. And so she required the Lord to do something. If you're going to go and accomplish everything that the Lord has got for you to do this year, it can't be, it has never, where God wants to take you, what God wants to do with your life has never been done before. So we're going to need to be those that are plugged in to what God wants to do. Amen. What Jesus did after fasting was something else. Because the first people who had the encounter with the enemy, when they encountered the devil, disaster happened. But you see, when the Lord encountered him, something that was never done before, where he overcame the enemy, it was overcome because of that time that he decided to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord for something in his life. And so as we're moving in this, how do we fast? You know, what do we do when it comes to fasting? So the first thing we do is we pray. So be in faith as you prayerfully and thoughtfully step into this season of fasting. And so fasting is more than simply going without something. It is supplementing the absence of something that feeds your flesh with prayer in order to feed your spirit. And that's what we're doing as we seek the Lord in 2022 for 3 days. Three very long days. But you are going to decide how you do it. We're not going to tell you how to do it. Some of you may not be able to fast because of medication and all of that, but there's something else that you can find to go without. It could be without your phone. You know, but if you need your phone, you know, keep your phone on. Don't say Stephen says we're fasting, so I'm going to put my phone to the side. No. The other thing we do is that we read the word. The devil came to test Jesus, and Jesus used the word against the enemy. The same, you have to understand that the devil came and used the word against Adam and Eve and distorted the words. And they used the word of God incorrectly and eventually succumbed to the plans of the enemy. Whereas Jesus did not distort the word of God. And I have this to say, it's the word in you that you will fight the obstacles that are going to come your way. And why do I say that? We're at the beginning of the year. Nobody knows what's happening tomorrow. In chapter 3 of Esther, it says, Sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hammedath, the Agagite, over all the other nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. Now you have to understand that these Agagites were the sworn enemy of the children of Israel. They're the ones who've just been put in power. And what he did is that he began to plot. We don't know what's coming up ahead of us. But as we seek that, as we spend time to seek the Lord and to fast and to pray and to say, Lord, we want more of you. We don't know what danger we are averting down the track. And that's some encouragement to say, as we seek the Lord. And by that I mean that everything was going swimmingly for Esther. She was eating the food. It was great. Not knowing that disaster was lurking in the background. And that's what we want to do. We want to be those that take on the word of God, because that is the word that is going to help us overcome in 2022. And so the other way, we commit. We commit to a type of fast. So we don't decide on a day-to-day basis. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and say, I think I'm going to fast from 6 to 9. You know, 6 in the morning to 9. Or wake up that, I don't feel like having breakfast. I'm fasting breakfast. That's not it. So, because you don't want to make it a day-to-day decision. You don't want to make a decision on a day-to-day basis. Commit before your fast begins and stay determined. And so fasting options may include water only, liquid, vegetables and fruits, one meal only per day. And then, of course, you have traditional fasts, which are your sun up to sundown, Monday through Friday. Well, we only do Monday to Wednesday. And then the other thing is, because there might be for medical reasons, you will probably have to other kinds of fasts, which these are alternative fasts because you have to have food because you take medication. So you might go without TV, social media, and no discretionary spending. Funny story is that when I used to go on these 21-day fasts, do you know what I used to do? I always used to want to go to the shops and do the shopping. I don't know why, you know, even though I couldn't eat, which was a funny thing, tempting myself to break my fast. And so the types of fasts are full fast, where it's only liquids, so we drink only liquids. There's the Daniel fast, where we eat no meat, no sweets, and no bread. We drink water and juice. We eat fruits and vegetables. So that's one type of fast. Then there's the partial fast, which is from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. or from sunrise to sundown, 6 to 6. And then, of course, there's the full fast. And then the alternative fast. There's a reason why I state that, because I understand that people take medication that requires them. So the responsible thing to do is to say there is an alternative fast, you know, where you're not able to fast foods and meals due to your health conditions or at the recommendation of a physician. So because if your doctor said you can't fast for whatever reason, then you're going to refrain from a bit of media, a bit of television, secular music and some, you know, Netflix, Stan, Hulu. There's lots of them, binge. There's lots of these things. Yes, and YouTube. We strongly believe that over the next 3 days, as we make this decision to seek the Lord, that God is going to begin to break some things off in our lives. You know, one of the things that will be the first to go is unforgiveness. Because as you begin to fast and to seek the Lord, unforgiveness in your life is going to be broken off. Because you can't be asking God for stuff and I'm holding grudges against 10 people. And God is going to do something with your heart. And fasting is powerful because it's not in your strength sometimes that we can forgive. However, I make the decision to forgive. And then, so that's what I'm responsible for. I forgive you, Dad. You didn't buy me my shoes when I wanted them, you know. Whatever the issue is, that unforgiveness in your heart, those are the benefits where God begins to just remove the corks in our lives so that his streams of living water can flow freely in your life. Because if there's unforgiveness, there definitely is some issues that are being stopped from flowing freely in your life. And so if we can grab the Steve, do you mind passing me these on your chair? You're sitting on one of these very nice pieces of paper. We're asking this year, just for 3 days, January 17th, which is from tomorrow, to Wednesday, that we will just, you know, take the time to seek the Lord. Take the time to find out that what is God's plan for our families? What is God's plan for my life? What is God's plan for my community? And so on day number one, we'll be praying vision for my life, my family, my growth, my church, my career, my nation. Day two, it's going to be praying for love for God, the Bible, my community, my enemies, my church. And day three, we're going to be praying faith for healing, finances, breakthroughs, revival, salvations, peace, and miracles. So at the back of your paper, it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And so we're asking that, of course, you would write down three things that you're praying for personally. Three things that you want to see God move in your life. Now, the only person that's going to know what those things are is you and God. And so I think you take this away. And as you're fasting, as you're seeking the Lord, as you're praying, you have that in front of you. Put that in your Bible or next to your phone, if you use the phone app. And just begin to pray into these three things. We're believing for breakthrough, that God is going to break some things off people, that God is going to heal people, that God is going to give you strategies, God is going to give you solutions to the things that are impacting your life, that you can live your life, that this will be your best year ever because you sought the Lord. So whilst the band begins to play, we hit the keys. Thank you, Catherine. Just take the time to write some things down. If you need a pen, our ushers, if you need a pen, just put your hand up. Our ushers will gladly help you. Oh, they need a Steve, do you mind giving them one? Thanks. And the paper. Stand this morning, we're going to pray. I'm believing that God is going to break some things off some people. That you're going to experience a new chapter in your lives and your relationship with the Lord. The things that you never thought were possible, never thought it was possible to forgive somebody, it's going to be possible. Father, I thank you. Just hold up your, and we're waving it to the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that Lord, with you all things are possible. And Father, as we set our hearts, Lord God, to seek you, and to seek your kingdom and your righteousness above all else, Lord. And all the things, Lord God, that bedevil us, all the things that take our concentration, whether it be food, where we wear, just the issues of life, Lord God, that you will take care of it in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that with you all things are possible. And Father, just as you said to Sarah, Lord God, is there anything that is too difficult for the Lord? And the answer is, Lord God, there is nothing that is too difficult for you. And so, Lord, we stand on your word, Lord God, that you know the things that we need, Father. You know the things we need, Father. But Lord, we seek you, Lord God. We seek your will, Father, that where there is sickness, Father, there be healing in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Lord, where there is lack, Lord God, that there will be abundance, Lord God, that would flow through. That, Lord, you would bring solutions, Lord God, to all those, Father, that need solutions. Your wisdom, Father, your wisdom. I pray for a spirit of discernment and understanding, Lord God, that as your people move forward as your ambassadors, Father, as you've placed them in position, Lord God, that you are preparing them for something, that they would take the mantle, Father, the authority that you have given them in Jesus' mighty name. They would move with confidence. They would move with boldness, Father, because of you, because of who you are. Your Jesus says that greater things than these shall you do, because I have gone unto the Father. And we declare right now that there would be healing, Father, over cancers, Father, that, Lord God, those that seek children will have babies in Jesus' mighty name. Those that need financial breakthrough, Father, that your provision is on the way in Jesus' mighty name. Those that are experiencing broken relationships, Father, that there is a healing that comes over them and their families. Father, we pray for 2022, Father, that this is the year, Lord God, of the Lord. This is the year that you will move, Father. This is the year that you will do great and mighty things, Father, because we are a people, Father. We are a community of people that are after you, that are after your heart, Father, that want to see your kingdom come, Father, your will done on the earth, Father. We pray and we believe in the mighty name of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's sing. Hallelujah.